Christ, and we want to thank Him for this opportunity that we might make Jesus Christ known today. Anybody in here today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you can know Jesus Christ before you leave here. Jesus Christ is the real person. He is a real thing today. And so many people have tried a lot of things today, but I tell you, if they try Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, you'll like Him, because that song that she sung, He was the last thing, we was the last thing on His mind, but we're still on His mind today. Jesus Christ knows each and every one of us, and He loves us so very much, and we're on His mind. And think about it, God is so big that every one of us is on His mind. And you know, He cares about us. He understands about us. And every need that you have, Jesus Christ is right there with you. To think about a Savior so big and so good, so merciful, so graceful, that He knows everything about us and still loves us. That's always been amazing to me, that Jesus Christ knows about me and He still loves me. Now, that's amazing in itself, and that is grace in itself, to know us while we was yet in our sin, that Jesus Christ died for me and died for you while we was yet in our sin, willing to go to that cross of Calvary. And so we want to thank you here this day, and all of our, especially all of our visitors that's with us. Today, if you have your Bible, you turn to chapter 13 of Matthew, chapter 13. We've been in this for several weeks, even before our revival. There are seven parables in this chapter 13. There are seven parables in this chapter 13, and this is the last of the seven that I've been preaching through. And all these parables, they hang together. Do not take these parables out of context whenever you read your Bible. They all must be read in the context of the scripture they're in Matthew chapter 13, because they're all dealing with one subject, and that subject is dealing with what Jesus Christ is doing in this world today from the time that Jesus Christ started His ministry 2,000 years ago, and for that 3.5 years He is on this earth, His ministry. And yet the people around Him did not understand. They did not know what was going on. Jesus Christ taught these parables to let people know what was going on in this world at that time, know what was going to go on in this world in the past, and know what the day that you and I are living in today, that even the day that we might understand, because they did not understand the gospel period of time, which we call the church age. And all they knew at that time was the nation of Israel. They was God's chosen people. But we know that the nation Israel ceased to be what God wanted them to be. They was put in the ground. They was covered up, as you might say, in this parable of the treasure in the field. They did not function as God had called them to function. God says, I'll take it away and I will give it to another nation. Another nation today is you and I today. We are a nation, another nation, a new nation that God has grafted in for a few years. We've been here for 2,000 years, this nation we call the church age. We are another nation. The nation that we are called today is a priesthood of the believers. That means every one of us that's born again is a priest. You are a priest today, whether you realize it or not. You are a priest today if you are born again, child of God, because you are a nation of priests, a royal priesthood that God said. I'd like for you to know that the last of this parable now is going to be talking about the parable of the drawing of the net. In these seven of these parables, we know what seven is in the Bible. That tells us that it means completion. Well, this is completion. The parable of the kingdom of heaven He's been speaking about now for these seven times. The first four of these parables we've been going over, and we know that He's talked to the multitudes. And the multitudes that gathered around Jesus Christ, it is a great time of a preaching. Multitude had followed Him now. And God's work is He got to talking to them about the outward appearance. They did not understand what was happening in the day. If we don't look at these parables and the contents that they're in, we will not understand them also. But He began to tell them these first four parables and what would happen in His day, and also in the future of His going away and the second coming and the 7-year tribulation and 1,000 years of reign of Christ on this earth. This parable was also, every one of these was to be able to reveal what God wanted to reveal to the people and also conceal to them. So we find out the first one, we talked about the four different types of soil. I've been over and over and over with this. Four tips of different types of soil, and only one type of those soil really had the ferment and the good soil to be accepted, the word of God. The other three fell away, and they was not saved. So we look around the day, and we see the church age that you and I are living in, and why not everybody hears the word of God? How come everybody's not saved? How come everybody that claims to be Christian today are not in the church serving and worshiping Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? If we think what Jesus Christ has done for us, if that person said, yes, confess that I know I'm saved. Yes, I know that Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary. I saw myself there at the time that Jesus Christ was, and I know that he died just for me. He shed his innocent blood just for me that I might have life. And we really understand that, knowing that we are sinners, because the Bible said that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ says that I have a gift to give you, and that gift's eternal life. There's nothing that you can work for salvation. You can't work your way. You cannot give enough. You cannot do enough for your salvation. It is a gift of God. Eternal life is a gift that none of us could work. So we understand these four different types of soul. There's only one that would accept the word of God. The only one would come back and worship him. And all the many people have come, and members of church, members all across our nation and land from history of the church today. We know that only about 1/4 of the people that ever comes back and really worship Jesus Christ. And then the wheat and the tares, whenever they went out to sow wheat, they were also the devil sowing tares amongst the people. That lets us know that we don't really know who's saved today. Being a church member, I want you to understand this church or any other church, that is not salvation, because you have your name on a church roll somewhere. It must be in the Lamb's Book of Life. I mean, you must be born again today. And then the parable of the mustard seed. The gospel, you see, it says this mustard seed grew to a tree. It was abnormal. It should not have never happened. It's something has happened in the gospel, just abnormal. In the day, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people calls Christian today is something abnormal in their life. It's just not right to say that I'm saved and do not love the things of God, the word of God, the people of God, and come up and worship God today. There's something wrong. And then the living, we have the living of the bread. That's evil, and the evil has come also into the church at the gospel age that you and I are living here also. And then Jesus Christ, we know he will begin to reveal and conceal some things. He revealed and concealed. And now in verse 36 of this same chapter, he said he sent the multitudes away into the house. Then the disciple came to him and asked him for more details about the kingdom of heaven. More details. And so he began to reveal to them, because that's the people that wanted to know. There's a lot of people today that really don't care. They really don't know about the kingdom of heaven. They're not concerned about it. They're not concerned about their family. They're not concerned about their kids. They're not concerned about their neighbor. If they did, they'd be where they ought to be, in the place of God. But you see, those that wants to know, God is going to reveal to you, reveal to me, and reveal to those that really wants to know about the kingdom of heaven and the things of God. He began to reveal them. They said, tell us now this earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and that is the parable within itself today. And then the final three parables of this chapter, he began to tell them. One about the hidden treasure. The hidden treasure was the nation of Israel, as I said, was hidden for a while. God had called them out of a nation. God chose them, not because they was good, because God chose them. He is a sovereign God, and he chose that nation. But that nation did not live up to what God had called them to do. He intended for all nations of the world to see what God had done for the Jews, and for everybody to want to have the God, the Jehovah God, that the Jews had. But you see, they covered up the glory of God. It was hidden for 400 years before Jesus Christ came as a baby thing on this earth. For 400 years, we call the silent years, and the last book of the Old Testament called Malachi were the silent years. And for 400 years, God did not speak to this people. It's called a people of this world, because they have covered up what God called them, the great glory of Jesus Christ and God himself. So the nation of Israel, whenever Jesus Christ came, he began to uncover that treasure. He began to tell them what they could be doing, and the power that Jesus Christ had, they could have also. But yet they covered it back up, and they did not want the Messiah. They did not want Jesus Christ. And this time of the year, 2,000 years ago, when he was coming over that Jerusalem hill, you see, they laid down palm branches. They said, Hosea, 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 their king. Their king was coming down into Jerusalem. They wanted this king. And then 7 days later after that was called the Passover, and those same group of people crying, Hosea, 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 the same group says, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. They did not want this Messiah, this Jesus Christ, to claim who he said he was and what Christ has come to do. So the treasure was covered back up. Israel this day is covered up. They're not working as God had for them to work, but he is giving now the work to someone else. And at that time, whenever Jesus Christ covered them up, they rejected their Messiah. They had rejected Jesus Christ from that time on. You and I, called the Gentiles, the Jewish people, you know, would not accept it. We're called the Gentile. We're called the church age today. And the church is where God is really working in this world that you and I are living in today. If it's not coming through the church, it's not of God, because God works through local churches. He set them up on this earth today. It's got to come through the churches, because God set them up here this day. And we are the ones that works today, because God has set it up this way. And then we come to the pearl of great price. The pearl of great price is the church. And we are so valuable, this pearl of great price. Remember in the parable that the man that found this pearl went, sold all he had and bought this pearl of great price. That means that Jesus Christ saw, you know, the church age, and you and I today, everyone that's sitting in this building today. And I'm going to tell you, you are so precious that Jesus Christ gave all he had to go to the cross of Calvary and was willing to die that horrible death, a sin death that you and I, you know, that we sin. But Jesus Christ was the perfect Son of God, and he was willing to die that you and I might have life and have it eternally, that Christ Jesus died for us. And we are the pearl of great price. It's called the church this day. So valuable today. But now three, and the last one, is what we call the parable of the drawing of the net. We will read these verses of scriptures now in Matthew chapter 13, the last of these seven parables. To the disciples he's talking now. He says in verse 47 of chapter 13 of Matthew, again, because this is the seventh time, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the ends of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked and forth among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity. Father, as we look into this parable this hour, Father, here in this church, Father, the born-again believers, Father, we know that there's a net that we must throw out. It is the gospel net, for opportunity for everyone born again, oh God, to take a hold of this net. And everything that we do in this life and everything that we might be able to do in this life, it ought to be grab hold of this net and cast this net out into the sea of people, Lord, they might understand and know that they need to be saved. Father, we said that you were also have told us, Lord, there is all of us, Lord, has sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means our brothers and sisters. That means our fathers and mothers. That means our daughters. That means our grandkids today. That means we all of us have come short of the glory of God. But there's a gift of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Father, and we want to thank you for that gift, that Lord, that we cannot work for it, but you gave it to us, O God, and that is eternal life. And we would accept you by faith that we shall be saved. Father, we need to profess you this day. Father, we hope for the far sayings of this service, O God, that someone will come this day to acknowledge you, Lord, as our Lord and Savior. Father, how we pray, God, that the gospel net thrown out this hour. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that it's casting out this day. Father, we just pray, God, that everybody might grab hold, oh God, and help pull this net in. Father, but we know that you're the one that does the dividing. We're the one, you're the one that does the separation. But Father, we just pray for this net today, that we might cast it out among our friends, each one of our neighbors that we live by every day, the friends that cross our life every day, even our family members and our loved ones, that we might cast this net out. Even if it's by telephone, Lord, let us cast it out. Even, Father, it's by visitation, let us visit. If it's by prayers, God, let us pray. Lord, it's by singing, let us sing. If it's by preaching, let us preach. Father, we want to thank you and praise you this hour, that, Lord, that we have this opportunity, that you're working through your church, you're working through your people this day. And, Father, we want to pray and honor you, Father, for allowing us to be part of the great kingdom of the work of God this hour, while we have time to work, because your holy word said one day that, Lord, the old man might worketh is while we're here on this earth. So we just want to thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God, for the convicting power and the word of God that lives, oh God, this day. We just pray that the word of God, Lord, that's alive, will get into our soul, Lord, that we might live again. For those that grown cold, Father, we just pray, Lord, they might live again with revival for casting out that net, for the visitation that each and every one need to do. Lord, we want to thank you now for the mercy, Lord, that you showed us today to allow us to be here. And Lord, we want to thank you and praise you and honor you for what you're going to do and for your great name here this day in this church. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. This last one is what God is doing now among the lost people of the world. That's what this net's all about. We talked about the Jews and we talked about the church. We're going to talk about what God is doing with the lost people. This parable is easy for the disciples to understand than much of the other parables that Jesus Christ talked about, because most of those was fishermen. They understood the technology that was involved, and they knew what was involved in fishing today. You know, Simon Peter was a fisherman. What Jesus Christ said, follow me, and I'll make you fishermen of men. And then again, whenever old Peter, you know, went out and he fished all night, he didn't catch anything. You know what? Whenever Jesus Christ was on the shore, he said, Peter, cast your net on the other side of the ship. He said, I fished all night, Lord. And I probably could just hear old Peter say, I'm a fisherman. You ain't nothing but a carpenter. And I fished all night. I know how to fish. I've been fishing all my life. And I fished all my life. And I fished all night. And I ain't caught anything. And you tell me to throw it out on the other side. I'm the fisherman. You are the carpenter. But he said, nevertheless, he took him at his word and he cast out, and you know, the great catch of fishes that he brought in. Then old Peter looked at that great catch of fishes and he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He recognized that Jesus Christ was a great fisherman of men. Jesus said, from henceforth you shall catch men. And we know really what old Peter went through. Peter was a great preacher. You know what? He preached at Pentecost, and he casted out that net, and 3,000 souls got saved at that one day. Peter was that great fisherman and knew how to cast out the net, of the gospel net. Well, all of us today, we're casting out the net. I'm casting out the net right now for this hour. I hope that someone understand that if you're lost here this day, that you need to come. But let me tell you, everybody's not going to come. But I pray we got cast out the net, they have a chance to come. Jesus Christ know how to speak to us in a language that we can understand. He spoke to his disciples on how they might be able to understand. Whoever you are today, he knows how to speak your language. He knows exactly where you are today. He knows how that you live your life. He knows how to speak your language when he tells you, you know, to cast out the net. Or he's telling you this hour by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. You know, lady, that you know that you need salvation. Sir, that you know that you need salvation. Well, you might say, God, well, I'm already saved. God, I've asked you into my heart. He said, yeah, but have you walked down an aisle? Have you made it public? Have you told the world that you're not ashamed of me? He says, you know, if you're ashamed of me down here, I'll be ashamed of you and my Father in heaven. If you have already accepted Jesus Christ, today is your opportunity to walk forth and let the world know that you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I mean the one that died on a cross for your sin. I mean the one that gave you eternal life. I mean the one that's with you every day. The one that says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, he's the one that's going to go with you through death. He's the one that's going to cross the Jordan with a river for you. And then tell me that people want to acknowledge him of Lord and Savior of their life. They want to acknowledge him as he's their great friend. They want to acknowledge him as they their great God. I mean, Jesus Christ, and he said it all to you now. Are you willing to do what Christ has told you to do today? Maybe the Holy Spirit is talking to you and you never made that step today. Well, the gospel net is going to be cast out. Every time we meet in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you the gospel net is cast out. We want to thank you for this privilege today, Lord, about casting out the net. Now, at the time that Jesus Christ spoke this parable, there was two different types of net that the disciples used there to catch fish. This was one of the great way of making money, and also a way that they made their living at that time was fishing, catching fish and carrying them up from Galilee and also the Mediterranean Sea up into the town and selling the fish. Well, sometime they had a cast net. And that cast net was just used by one single person. A lot of times like a cast net today. Old Brother Cotton Sapp, he casts out a net. He catches us some shrimp from time to time, some mullet from time to time. It's a one-man net. You cast this net out, and you just draw this net in, and you catch a few fish at the time with this cast net. That's not the type of net that Jesus Christ was talking about. It's not the type of net that the disciples were using mostly at that time. The type of net that they used was called a drag net. We're more familiar with a drag net today. The drag net now sometimes was so big and so long, even the day that Jesus Christ in time when old Peter and them was fishing, that sometimes they put it between two boats. It had some lead anchors on it, or some anchors on it of some way or another, and some cork, and they pulled it out and they drew it back in. Sometimes, you know, this drag net, you see, you go down there to the coast, you see these shrimp boats and they're dragging. That's what they're doing. They're dragging the bottom. They're dragging the bottom for fish. And they bring them back in out of the deep sea, and they bring fish in, bring shrimp in. Out further out in the ocean, you find these drag nets. They catch these big salmons. They catch these sardines. They might be miles of net on these big drag ships that they call it. Well, in Jesus' day, there was a drag net. mostly like what we would probably use if you go beach singing. Anybody ever been beach singing? Just go out there and walk out there and beach sing. Go out there for a little while with a net. Go as far as you can out, and you just drag it back. You got your weights on the bottom of it. You drag the bottom, and also you have the corks at the top, and you drag it back in, and you see what you have. Many years ago, there was a television program. I always liked to watch this television program. The name of it was Dragnet. Any of you old people understand that? Dragnet. Y'all ever remember that word, Dragnet? Dum-da-dum-dum. Dragnet. And you know Sergeant Friday, he was a police there in Los Angeles, California, and they would throw out a dragnet over that city for somebody because of some crime, and you know what? They would drag it back in till they'd catch that criminal. Well, Jesus' days, you see, this was the same type of net. They would throw it out or either carry it out by boats or walk out in the deep, and they would drag it back. And they would catch all kinds of creepy things. Sometimes they catch all kinds of fish. And some was edible and some was not edible. Some was good and one not so good. Some would be saved and some would be thrown away. You know, there would be a time there of the separation when they brought them back in. Well, this parable tells us exactly about the separation. Remember, there's a gospel invitation that's casting out the net. But when they pull this gospel net back in, there's also going to be a gospel separation. And God said he'd be the one to separate. I don't know if you've ever been sainting or not, but there's going to be some separation whenever you pull this net back in. Now, it's important truth here that we understand about that invitation. It's cast out for everybody, but then you see there's going to be some preparation. This gospel invitation also is the very opportunity for us today. It's the opportunity for us to cast out this net that someone might be saved. If you really believe the Word of God, the Word of God says faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. There's nobody that's never saved unless they have a human intervention some way in their salvation. No one's never saved without some type of human intervention. Y'all understand that. You say, well, I was saved and nobody was there but just me and my Bible. Well, I just read the Word of God. The Spirit of God got a hold of me. And I just accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Yes, but man penned this. You know that? That's still an element. You might have read a tract somewhere or another and say, well, I didn't have nobody there. I just read that tract and I got saved by reading that tract. Yes, but man had an element in making that tract. Well, someone might have told you about Jesus Christ and you heard the words and said, you know what? If you just ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sin and come in your heart and save you, he will. And then you see that night there was nobody there, but you had already heard the word. Man had already told you what it was, or a woman might have already told you what it was. That is the great invitation we have, but you see, we have an opportunity to do this day, because right now we are the pearl of great price. We are the church. We have this opportunity that God has called us to cast this net out to everybody, this great opportunity we have today. We're living in the days of opportunity. Today that you know I get a chance to preach the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, it's not me, it's the Word of God. People get mad because of what I say. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying what God said. You have to take it up with God, and I have an opportunity to preach the Word of God. We had Sunday school teacher here this morning, had an opportunity to teach the Word of God. That's casting out a net. We had the song service here last night and also song service this morning. It was an opportunity and song service to cast out the gospel net. We have prayer. You know, we're going to have a prayer meeting tonight. Ladies and men, it's an opportunity to cast out the net. Also, we have going to have a visitation. Everything we do is an invitation. The net today, whosoever will, let him come, God says. Whosoever will. It's an opportunity for our church. It's an opportunity the day that you and I are living in. There will come a day when we will not have this opportunity. There will come a day whenever the church age is over with, whether you believe it or not. It's coming, and it's coming fast. I believe we're closer than Jesus Christ coming back when they ever been before. Not believe it, I know it. I know it. I don't know how soon it's going to be, but Jesus Christ is coming back. The 3.5 years Jesus Christ taught these truths so many different ways about, you know, that Jesus Christ coming back and we must cast this net out. He talked about the marriage now of the supper, the great marriage of the supper. And he said for a servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That's the casting of the net. He talked to the servants today. In verse 47 that I read in chapter 13, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net was cast out into the sea and gathered of every kind. The casting of the net. There's a casting of the net into the sea, talking about the sea of people of the day. Over 6 billion people is on the face of this earth and growing at a rapid rate all the time. Some wonders, how in the world are we going to feed them on this globe that we're living on? I'm going to tell you, we're not going to feed everybody. I'm going to tell you, whole nations is going to go hungry. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time, and it's going to be a matter of what nation goes hungry. But there's going to be a whole nation that goes hungry. We'll not be able to feed the population expansion they are on the face of this earth right now. But also, while the population expanding on this earth, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ should be expanding more than it's ever expanded before. But yet they tell us percentage-wise, people are getting less and less of Christians all the time. We are living in what we call the Bible Belt of the United States. We're living in the Buckle Belt of the world, but you see, we're failing more all the time. Even the day that you and I are living in the Buckle Belt, it's hard to get people to understand about the gospel net. It's hard to get people to understand that they ought to come and worship Jesus Christ if you're born again. Not just because you say you are, but are you born again and worship Jesus Christ? The mass of humanity people there, I'm going to tell you, the population is growing all the time. There's so many people there. But you see, look at the people today, and look at the mass of people all across our nation that you see them there. Look at the demonstrations in other worlds where they're having problems of their government in other worlds we're living in now. There's just people that's very restless. You know, the people out there's just so restless, and they're just darting here and darting there, and they don't know where they're going. They're just restless, and they need Jesus Christ. The sea is a picture of fallen mankind, of humanity. It's the gospel net when it's thrown out to whosoever will, anybody that can come. Now, our opportunity is also a privilege. I'm going to tell you, God has given you a privilege and opportunity to cast out this net. And I'm going to tell you, when we take this opportunity today, you will not be able to escape the opportunity. If you are born again child of God this day, you cannot escape this opportunity that God has given you. It is your responsibility, and whether you come or you don't come, or you participate on the things of God or not, I'm going to tell you, you will not escape this great time that God has given you and an opportunity that God has given you. Oh, Paul says in his writings, Romans chapter 1, a few verses, it said in Romans 1, verse 14, he says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. It says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. Oh, Paul says several times, he says, I am. I mean, that's for every one of us today to understand that you have an obligation. Not also understand that you got an obligation, but you say you got an opportunity that God has given you. And this opportunity and obligation that you said, Paul says, that I am. And then he says that I am a debtor. I said, you have a debt today. If you have been born again, saved today, you got a debt that you cannot pay back. You owe that debt. You'll never be able to pay it back no matter what you do to Jesus Christ. But he says also that I'm ready. I'm ready. Now, the answer to you today, are you ready? Are you ready today? There's so many people's not ready to pay this debt back. I mean, they're not even ready to come out and listen to beautiful songs. They're not even ready to come out and have fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're not even ready to come out and pay their tithes. They're not even ready to come out and pray. They don't even want to come out and offer up the names on Wednesday night to the people and he's prayed for and lift up their names up to the Lord. Because sooner or later, I'm going to tell you what, if you live long enough, you will be on the prayer list and you'll need someone to pray for you. Well, where's the people at on Wednesday night? Where's the people that needs to be lifted up? Where are they at this day? I'm going to tell you what, people don't understand the great need that we have today. But Paul says, I'm ready. And not only that, he says, I'm not ashamed. I mean, that'll hit everybody where you ought to be hit. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. It's an obligation that I had to throw out this net. He says, I'm a debtor. I have a spiritual debt, and you have this spiritual debt, each and every one of us. You cannot escape the spiritual debt that God has given you. I mean, if you accept that Jesus Christ and that blood, I'm going to tell you what, you have a debt. You have a spiritual debt that you cannot escape. That you know what, you got a special debt, that God done that just for you. I'm going to tell you, if you had been no other person in the world that Jesus Christ would have died on a cross just for you. But not only that, you got a global debt. He says not just to the Jews, but also the barbarians. It is a global debt. Our obligation, I'm going to tell you, is for everybody, for you and I, and we cannot escape this obligation. I'm going to tell you, God has called you to be what you're supposed to be. The Great Commission that God has called us, there's two of them. You know, one thing he said, you know what, come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then after he says to come, there's another obligation. He said for us to go. I go. A lot of people don't want to go. I want you to think about this. The good things that you enjoy. I want you to think about how God has been good to you. I want you to think about the things that you enjoy because you are a Christian. Do you understand that this hour? The things that you enjoy in God because you are a Christian, God helps you to enjoy the things He has already given you, even before that you were a Christian, and to understand the joy that you have today. We have this joy today. Do you understand what God is saying about the things that we enjoy? Did you know I enjoy to come to the service of the Lord? I come to worship Jesus Christ not because that I'm a pastor or a preacher. I come because I love God's people and I love to come and worship God. I'm going to tell you today, I come to service and I enjoy coming to service. I'm going to tell you, do you enjoy coming? You cannot make people do what God is calling to do. They got to come and do it because they enjoy doing it. There's a lot of people not here because they don't want to be here today. They don't enjoy being here today. They don't enjoy God's people today, but I enjoy it. I enjoy being in God's house today. Come because we enjoy it. I enjoy listening to music. I was here last night listening to music. I'm here this morning, and I thank God for the choir, Brother Orville, all of them in the choir, and everybody that does what you do in the choir. I enjoy hearing songs about our Lord and Savior. I enjoy the choir. I enjoy hearing the music. I enjoy having fellowship. We had fellowship here this morning. I had fellowship last night in our social hall. And I enjoy every time that God's people meets, whether it's one or more gathered together, it says, I'll be in our midst. I enjoy having fellowship. You think about the material things that God has given you that you enjoy because you're a Christian and you understand they all come from God. They are God today, and do you enjoy that? I enjoy the Word of God that we read this. It cleanses us out. You see, the Word of God, you read the Word of God, the Word of God reads you. I'm going to tell you, if you get into the Word of God will get into you, and it cleanses you out this day. I thank you, Lord, for the joy. I just thank you for everything about salvation and what Christ has done for me. You see, I have this joy, and I should share this joy. Now, do you have joy? Do you have joy of what Christ has done for you this morning? Can you think of anybody that you'd like to share it with? How about your next door neighbor? How about your friends and your relatives? I got to thinking back in my study while I was praying about this message this morning. I got to thinking, a lot of people we're trying to reach and trying to get, you know, back in the fellowship with God, maybe get a salvation, whatever it might be. And I got to thinking, you know, I've invited so many people over and over and over and over, you know, they just won't come. I got to thinking, God says, you know what you ought to really do? He says, you know, you ought to just go in there and ask them, could I pray for you? Just say, can I pray for you? You don't mind you praying for you because you're not going to come to church. You know, used to when I go visit people, they'd pay me back, they'd come at least one time. Now they got where I want him to come. But you see, that can't stop us. I'm still concerned about them. Maybe I ought to pray for them. Maybe I ought to ask them, say, you know what, I don't want to mention about you coming to church because you see, you might not even come to church, but I just want to mention to you, could I pray for you? I believe if we go and ask people, could I pray for you? Could I write your name down? Could I pray for you? Would you mind me praying for you every day? Don't even mention coming to church. You've been on my mind. If it's on your mind, that's what we need to do. And just ask him, say, you know what? I just want to put you on my prayers and pray. I got a lot of people I pray for. I mean, we need to pass this on. The passion we owe, Paul says, for as much as it's in me. He said, you know what? There's a fire in me. I mean, really, does this mean anything to us today that we are saved, born again? You know, the people at 9/11 that flew those planes in those trade buildings, and you know what? They knew at that time that they was willing to give their life. They knew they was going to die. I mean, they knew they was going to die. But they was willing to give their life to advancement of their cause. They was willing to give their life for the advancement of their cause, even if their cause was wrong. Even their cause of the devil. Looked like to me that we ought to be willing to give something to advance the call of Jesus Christ, the casting of the net, the drawing of the net, all the drawing of the net. It says there in verse 47 again, gathered of every kind. Now the gospel net reaches all kind of people. I know I was in Mexico not long ago down in West Texas, and there was a lady there who was a Muslim. She had come from the Czech Republic, and someone had reached her for Jesus Christ. God had called her into the mission field. She'd come over here to get some education into the ministry of the missions, and she was a Muslim and shared her belief and shared her testimony with us. You see, they're all kind. There's all kind of fishes out in the sea that the gospel reach. It don't matter what place, it don't matter what race, and it don't matter what face. I'm going to tell you, the gospel reached everybody. It said it gathered of every kind. of every kind. Now notice the word of God, it didn't say not every fish in the sea was caught. Not every fish in the sea. It says, you know, the net was cast out, but some fish didn't get in the net. It says some of every kind. Some of every kind. Because you see, when the net's cast out, just like this morning, the net's cast out, some fish get startled. They're startled by the net. The net brushes up against them, they get startled. I've never been out on a boat. I've never been out on a big boat. Never been beach seeing, but I've been creek seeing. Any of y'all ever been creek seeing? A little small net in the creek, been creek seeing. I always used to do that whenever, especially whenever I was a child. You'd get in that water, and you just stir that water up, and get it all muddy, and get muddied up. You know, there'd be some startled fish to start with before you ever got the net in the water. Some of those fish, I'm going to tell you, would jump out on the hill while you was in the water. I mean, especially on Jack. They'd jump out on the hill, and you hadn't even got the net in the water. But when you put that net in the water, I'm going to tell you what, they're going to jump out of the hill, they're going to jump on the hill, they're going to jump over it. They just, because they all type a startled fish. I saw on television not long ago about these carps up in some of these northern states that took over some of these rivers, and a boat going up this river, you know, you had to have a mask on because these carps would jump by the thousands of them. They'd jump in the boat and hit you, and it's plumb dangerous to be going up this river because the carps get so startled they would jump in. Well, see, there's a lot of people this day, I'm telling you, that is startled by the gospel. I mean, they're jumping everywhere. People startled by the gospel. You know, sometimes they come to a service just like this. And they hear the word of God, you see, and it startles them for a little while. They begin to think about what I need to do. And they hear the music and the song, you know, it kind of stirs their heart. And then you know what? They say, what do I need to do? They hear about hell and hear about heaven, hear about salvation. And if you're lost, you need to be saved. They get startled for a little while. But you see, all the startled fish don't get in the net. They walk back out. And sometimes these startled fish, they'll go to a funeral. When you know what God does, makes you face reality. Some people, you know, they don't want to listen to the Word of God. They won't come to church. They don't want to hear nothing about the Word of God. But every once in a while, some of their family member dies, and God makes them stand face to face with reality and death. And they hear about heaven and hell, and they get startled for a little while. And you can see, and you can note those people. You say, well, you can tell they ain't never been to church. They don't know what to say. It's like a fish without a water. They just startle a fish, and they don't know what to say. And pretty soon, you know what? They want to get out of there just as quick as they can. Because they want to get back to that old way of life and get out of that because they've been startled by the gospel net, by the preaching of the Word of God and reality of death. Sometimes they startle fish, you know, whenever they go to the hospital. And, you know, God may touch them, you know, and God's got all type of tools. And, you know, it might be the hospital. He wants to talk to you. Most time he can talk to you better when you're flat on your back anyway. Did y'all know that? When you're looking up to him. You know, when I've had all type of people tell me, buddy, preacher, when I get back, I'm going to do so-and-so, and I'm going to do so-and-so, and I'll pray for me and do so-and-so. They were startled for a little while. When they get back and get well again, God touches them, you don't see them anymore. They just startled fish. They just startled fish. It says it gathered not all of them, but some of all kind. Not all, but some of all kind. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Not all, but some. The response. Whose response it is? It's the will of man. It's not God. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. As some men count slackness, it is long-suffering to us. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That means if you're here this day and you're lost, God has got a will for you to be saved. But it's your will against his will. God wants you to be saved. Now, if you don't want to, you can walk out of this building lost. But if you want to be saved, he says you can be saved because it's my will that you shall be saved if you want to be. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth? You're hearing the truth this morning. Not that I said it, because the word of God has said it here this day. It's man's will today. Jesus said, I would gather you like a chicken with a bit is under a wing, he said, but you would not. But one of these days, you know what, that net is very appealing, you know, as it casts that net. It's very alarming also, gathering the good and the bad. There's going to be a drawing of the shore. You know, one of these days, God's going to draw all people. Everybody's going to stand. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or you're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. You are going to stand. You are going to be judged. Hear me. That's not what I said. That's what God said. You're going to be judged. You're not going to get out of the judgment. There's going to be a judgment for every one of us. Now, in this net, it says there's good and there's bad. And I'm going to tell you, in a church, there's good and there's bad. There's no perfect church nowhere. If you find one, don't join it. Even Jesus Christ, he had 12 people in his church, and one of them was a rotten fish. Even one of them was rotten fish, Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. It was rotten fish. It's one thing to be religious, another thing to be regenerated. You know, it's one thing, you see, to be in a net, but it's another thing to be in Christ. Now, as we see this gospel separation in verse 48, it says, which when it was full, they draw to shore, and they sat down, and they gathered the good into the vessels, and they cast the bad away. Well, this present time that reaches out to all, a cast net is cast out. But you see there's a future matter there involved here called eternity. Verse 48 and 49, listen to what it says. And it so shall be at the end of the world. The angels are going to do this judging and separation. Shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just, and shall cast into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The gospel's separation is going to be final. They won't be but one time, and it will be final. There's the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, and the 5 foolish. The sheep and the goats. I'm going to tell you what, the good and the faithful servants and the one that God said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. They're going to be a fatal separation. Because the fatal separation said in 49, the angel is going to separate the wicked from the just. Well, you say, well, I'm not wicked. I might not know Jesus Christ and I'm not a church member, but I'm not wicked. You're not? Hebrews 1 and 4 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister? Then who shall be heirs of salvation? Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who shall know it? You say, I'm not wicked. God says your heart's wicked regardless if you know it or not. You lost today. You say, I'm not wicked. Well, you say, well, I'm not just either. You say you're not just. Well, in Galatians 3 and 11 says, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evidence for, listen, the just live by faith. It's a faith that you accept Jesus Christ and he makes you righteous because of your faith in him today. There's none righteous today except those who are in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you it's going to be final, it's going to be fatal, and it's going to be factual, what I'm telling you this day. This will stand for all eternity. He says, not one of my word to come back void. He says, not one jot, not one tittle of my word till everything be fulfilled. What I'm telling you today is the truth of the word of God. If you're here today and you've never made that decision for Jesus Christ, and you think that you might go out and live any way that you want to, I'm telling you what, you're going to face eternity. I mean, the gospel net has thrown out you and it's been pulling in right now. Right now, I'm pulling in the net. And it's up to you. It says that all of them's not going to come. He said the sum of every kind is going to come. It's living up to you today. Do you want to be saved? You can be saved today. The net's being drawn in. The invitation is being asked. All kind is coming this day. Do you really want to be saved today? If you're here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ, today would be the day. Well, how do you do that? Well, you come down here and I'll tell you just exactly how you do this. Do you want to be saved today? You can be saved. Remember what God says, it's not my will that any should perish. If you go to hell, that's not God's will. You know, God never did make hell for any mankind. Everybody goes to hell for an intruder. He made it for the devil and his angels. You know what? And the devil says, hey, I want you to understand that I'm God. And you start serving old devil. And I'm going to tell you what, you'll wind up in a place called hell. But the devil's not going to hell to run things. He's going there because he was going there as a place there for him to be captured forever and ever. That's his torment, hell. And all those that goes with him. You know what God says? Now I want you to come. You know, I believe the Holy Spirit of God has cast out the net the best I know how to do. I never have been much of a fisherman. I never have been much of throwing out a net. But I throwed out the gospel net this morning the best I know how. And the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God is not by me, it's by you. Are you willing to sit there and let the old devil tell you you need to wait and come back another day and get it right with God, or you need to come today? How about rededicate your life for Jesus Christ and come and say, well, you know, I hadn't lived for you, Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get another opportunity. You're going to get an opportunity this day because, you know, Jesus Christ says, you know what, I'm the God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance. And we come with the song of invitation this hour, and the Spirit of God is drawing us right now. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. Young or old, it don't matter who you are. Do you know without a shadow of doubt? Well, I remember such and such a church. I didn't ask you that. That don't make no difference whatsoever. When you stand before God, he's going to ask you what church you was a member of. I'm going to tell you, church membership will not get you into heaven. Oh, I hope that you do come join today, but I'm going to tell you why that's not it. That's not it. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Are you willing to ask him, Lord, I know that I'm sinned, because there's not a person in here that don't know that they have sinned. And being that you have sinned, do you have anything to pay God back with? Not one thing. You ain't got nothing that God wants from you to make you more acceptable to God. He wants to take you just like you are. Amen. Just like you are. As an old, dirty, lost sinner and willing to come to Jesus Christ. He says, and I'll do the cleaning. As we stand as a gospel led, being drawn this hour.